Well, thank you, Brother David, and God bless you. Hello, saints. Good to be back with you again. Got a rainy day out there today. Let's go to the Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you so much for your word, Lord. It keeps us on the narrow path, shows us what a church ought to look like, shows us who ought to be in charge, if anyone. It's Jesus. Lord, we thank you for giving us a good word today to let out what's the difference between real Christianity and the Nicolaitan error. Lord, we just praise you and we glorify you that this word will go out and it will bless people's lives. And we thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. That's what I want to talk about. Real Christianity versus the Nicolaitan error. You know, over in Revelations 2 and 4, it talks about the church of Ephesus. It says, "But I have this against thee, that thou didst leave thy first love." You know, I believe a lot of the church left their first love. In the beginning, when we come into the kingdom, a lot of people are real enthusiastic about Jesus. But it doesn't take very long before a lot of people settle down and they lose their first love. Then verse 5 of Revelation 2 says, "Remember therefore whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I come to thee and will move thy candlestick out of its place, except thou repent." Now, this can be something said to the Laodicean church of our age. Go back and do the first works. Go back and find out what the Bible says and forget the lies that you've heard. Seek the truth for yourself, okay? Verse 6, "But this thou hast, that thou hatest the works of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate." These people that were evidently lukewarm and fallen away from the Lord had one thing positive, that they did hate the work of the Nicolaitans. And that's, God also hates it. Now, somebody that was in bad shape as they were had something positive about them. God does hate the work of the Nicolaitans. Now, that word Nicolaitans, Nico means to conquer, and Laitan means the people. To conquer the people. It was a priestly order that set themselves up above the people of God, between the people and God. In the Old Testament, there was a priestly order, the Levites and the high priest, which ministered God for the people. That was fine for the letter and the law, when people were not born again in order to have a perfect relationship with God. But it ain't accepted anymore. Right after the New Testament started, there was a great falling away. Catholicism started a priestly order, which is not according to God's will. And the Protestants kept it up, but they called them pastors instead of priests. They were a one-fold ministry ruling over the church, and that's not supported by the scriptures. And you know it's a lie when you can't find it in the Word. There's nothing supporting the pastor as being the head of the church. Matter of fact, there was a fivefold ministry. Exodus 19 and 5. "Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be mine own possession from among all peoples. For all the earth is mine, and ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel." Now, God says those who keep his covenant will be a kingdom of priests and will not give in to the Nicolaitan doctrine, which he says he hates. And to the church at Pergamum, Revelation 2 and 15, "So hast thou also some that hold the teaching of the Nicolaitans in like manner. Repent, therefore, or else I'll come to thee quickly and I will make war against them with the sword of my mouth. God cast the harlot, the Jezebel, and her children into great tribulation. The Jezebel is the false church government that's been been put upon Christians, thinking that it's right in Scripture when it's actually not. The Bible clearly has given us a fivefold ministry. Ephesians chapter 4, 11 and 12. And he gave some to be apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints unto the work of ministering, unto the building up of the body of Christ. And because God didn't want to share his glory, nor did he want anybody to be between us and God. The Bible says that Christ is the head of every man. 1 Corinthians 11:3, but I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Now, the Nicolaitan priesthood, they call it a covering. Your covering is not any religion or any preacher. Your covering is the Lord Jesus Christ and what he's accomplished on the cross, your propitiation. And when a man starts telling you that he's your covering, you need to get up and leave because you're being trapped into that Nicolaitan error. Now, generally speaking, these people are trained to be domineering. They don't give you a choice to follow to your conscience or to follow the word for yourself. They tell you what the word says, then they expect you to follow it at the expense of your fellowship. If you don't, do it. Because they'll put you under the law, and they can sit there ready to cast you out if you don't follow what they tell you to do. And they do not let you grow at your own rate and make up your mind as you study the scriptures so that you can come to the unity of the faith as you grow in the knowledge of the word. These people are very domineering. They put you under the law. They tell you what to believe, and they'll cast you out if you don't follow them. The pastor, folks, is not the head of the church. As it says in the scriptures, Ephesians 4 and 11, he gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. And as some people out there get hung up on this, because in 1 Corinthians 12, it uses only teachers. Listen, evangelists are teachers of the lost. Pastors are teachers. They are shepherds, teachers of guidance. All of these are teachers. And they're separated for the purpose of their ministry to whom and what they are ministering. Then verse 12 of Ephesians 4 says, for the perfecting of the saints unto the work of ministering, unto the building up of the body of Christ. Now we see from Exodus 19 that we all have to be priests unto the Lord. Exodus 19 and 6, and you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. And we all minister unto him. We all have sacrifices that we make, especially the sacrifices of our old life. Romans 12 and 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service. We sacrifice the old beast in this fiery trial we're in. We're called to be ministers in one form or another. Not all elders, but all are ministers. And if you'll notice, it's for the perfecting of the saints unto the work of ministry, unto the building up of the body of Christ. And that's what God desires, that we serve his body in one form or another as ministers. The body serves itself. We are our brother's keepers, and we have a ministry that our brother is in need of. Every one of us receives a ministering gift from God. Every one of us. Now, people are used to calling ministers what actually elders are. That word elders is diakonos, which means to serve. And it's used by many people in many different facets. And some of them aren't elders. Not everybody is called to be an elder, an apostle, a prophet, a pastor, a teacher, etc. The minister's job is to build us up until, as it says in Ephesians 4 and 13, we all attain unto the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a full-grown man. Or that full-grown means perfect also, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. We attain unto the unity of the faith, and that ain't happening. The majority of ministers don't want that to happen because they're afraid. They use the word to separate people into different sects. Sectarianism is a work of the flesh, the Word of God says, Galatians 5, 19 through 21. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousies, wrath, factions, divisions, parties, envyings, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I forewarn you, even as I did forewarn you, that they who practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. God wants his body to be one. And he wants the people in the body to serve the body. Individually and corporately, we are growing unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we may be no longer children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men in craftiness after the wiles of error. In other words, not to get caught up in this idolatrous religion of men. Verse 15, but speaking truth in love, we may grow up in all things unto him who is the head, even Christ. You know, we talk about abiding in Christ and what it is to abide in him. Abiding in Christ is more than just abiding in his righteousness. It's abiding in his ministry, his gifts. It's learning to walk as he walked. Verse 16, from whom all the body, fitly framed and knit together, through that which every joint supplieth, according to the working, in due measure of each several part, maketh the increase of the body unto the building up of itself in love. You know, God has put his people here to become one body. Now, I know there's a lot of local bodies, and each of them is coming into the image of Christ. But in the scriptures, it wasn't a denominational church in each city. It only named the church of that city. It said the church of Ephesus. There was just one church in Ephesus, not all the denominations in Ephesus. Now, of course, we were told that the wolves would come in and divide the body, and that's what they did. Acts 20, 29 through 30 says, I know that after my departing, grievous wolves shall enter in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after them. The body is meant to serve one another. And if you want to make sure that a body never has any power, just let it follow in the steps of the Nicolaitan error. There won't be no power there. The Nicolaitan error cannot bring the body to perfection, the fullness of Christ. Only the fivefold ministry can. The body gets used to being spectators instead of each one finding their ministry and the part that God has chosen for them to edify and build up the body. They just become spectators. They don't believe it's their responsibility to serve the body or to enter into the gifts of the Spirit. Now, when we look at chapter 12 and 13, the body of Christ is more than just the fruit of Christ. The fruit of Christ is mentioned, 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 7. If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am become as sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And if I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And if I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and if I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love envieth not. Love vaunts not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeks not its own, is not provoked, takes not account of evil, rejoices not in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. And before, listen folks, before the fruit of Christ, the ministries of Christ are mentioned in 1 Corinthians 12, 28 through 31. And God has set some in the church, first apostles, second prophets, thirdly teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diverse kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But desire earnestly the greater gifts. And moreover, a most excellent way show I unto you. Now, before that, even, the description of the body is Christ as servants one to another in 1 Corinthians 12, starting out in verse 12. For as the body is one, and hath many members, and all the members of the body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For in one spirit were we all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether bond or free, were all made to drink of one spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, it is not therefore not of the body. And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, it is not therefore not of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, each one of them, in the body, even as it pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now they are many members, but one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of thee, or again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those parts of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness, whereas our comely parts have no need. But God tempered the body together, giving more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and severally members thereof. And then, before this, the gifts of Christ are mentioned in 1 through 11. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that when you were Gentiles, you were led away unto those dumb idols, however you might be led. Wherefore, I make known to you that no man speaking in the Spirit of God says, Jesus is anathema, and no man can say, Jesus is Lord, but in the Holy Spirit. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are diversities of administrations, and the same Lord. And there are diversities of workings, but the same God who works all things in all. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit to profit withal. For to one is given through the Spirit the word of wisdom, and to another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith in the same Spirit, and to another gifts of healing in the one Spirit, and to another workings of miracles, and to another prophecy, and to another discernings of spirits, and to another diverse kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these works the one and the same Spirit, dividing to each one severally, even as he will. You know, Jesus was made in all points like unto his brethren, it says in Hebrews 2 and 17. Jesus came as a Spirit-filled Son of God to minister in the gifts of the Spirit. You know, did you know that Jesus didn't do one miracle until the Holy Spirit came down on him when he was baptized by John? That's when his miraculous work started. And that was a gift of the Holy Spirit. And we see the gifts of the Spirit mentioned in 1 Corinthians 12. When the Lord said to his disciple, "As the Father has sent me, even so send I you." The Father sent a body that was to meet the needs of his people. And Jesus also sent out a body of people that was capable to meet all the needs of God's people. And folks, in the days to come, through this tribulation that's coming on us, we're going to need everything of Jesus Christ to walk through this time. We're going to need all of the gifts in operation. Jesus demonstrated for us in the gospel what it was like to walk in the 3.5 years of the coming tribulation. Then his disciples demonstrated in the book of Acts what it was like to walk in the last 3.5 years. And these books were types and shadows of these time frames. The gifts saved them. It saved them more than one time, too. The gifts also met the needs of all the body of Christ through one another. Now, the listing of the gifts amount to the ministry of Jesus Christ. And as the body of Christ, God gives these gifts to us so we can walk in his steps. 1 John 2 and 6 says, "He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk, even as he walked. As for you, let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. And if that which you heard from the beginning abide in you, ye also shall abide in the Son and in the Father." Well, in other words, you are abiding in the body of Christ. And what's heard from the beginning is that God gave these gifts to everybody. All of his people got them. When the so-called people of God opposed Jesus, Matthew 12, 22 and 30-32, they didn't believe in the full gospel. They believed his gifts were of the devil, and they accused him of blaspheming the Holy Spirit. Folks, they're doing the same thing today. They are blaspheming or speaking against the Holy Spirit by attributing his gifts to the devil. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Some of these people are reprobated. These gifts were given in the beginning. And if we're going to abide in Christ, then that has to abide in us as well. And what we heard in the beginning, it has to come to pass in us. This is the body of Christ, not only in the fruit, but in the ministries, in the gifts. And the body being knit together, as it says in Ephesians 4, 16. All these things are in 1 Corinthians 12 and 13. 1 Corinthians 12 and 4 says, "Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are diversities of administrations and the same Lord." Listen, there are different gifts and different ways that those gifts are ministered because they don't work the same in everybody. The Holy Spirit reacts differently in different people. Verse 6, "And there are diversities of workings, but the same God who works all things in all." The same God. The same Spirit is working all these gifts in all, it says. Verse 7, "But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit to profit with all. And everyone in the body who is filled with the Holy Spirit is capable of having these gifts to profit with all." In other words, to meet the needs of the body. It ain't optional, folks. We're commanded to be filled with the Holy Spirit. There's some people out there say they automatically got filled with the Holy Spirit when they got saved. But there ain't nothing in the scriptures about that. Jesus, after walking with his disciples 3.5 years, breathed on them And he told them, receive ye the Holy Spirit in John 20 and 22. Then, what did he do? He told them to tarry in Jerusalem until that Spirit came just a few days later. That was in Luke 24 and 49, Acts 1, 4 and 5. And then the word later says, but ye shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you in Acts 1 and 9. These same disciples that Jesus told that the Spirit is with you, but shall be in you, were filled with the Spirit at that time, at the day of Pentecost. They were born again because Jesus said, you who have followed me in the regeneration in Matthew 19:28. And that word regeneration is the same word for new birth or born again. And he also told them, ye are clean because of the word which I have spoken unto you. John 15 and 3. These disciples were born again. The words of Jesus made them clean. Remember what he said, John 6:63. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and are life. They received those words, and they brought his Spirit and his life into them. Not the Holy Spirit, it's the Spirit of Christ, according to Romans 8. Christ had his own Spirit, but he also had the Holy Spirit. And also the disciples that he raised up had their own born-again spirit, but they also received the Holy Spirit in obedience to God. Today, there are many not being obedient to God, and they are accepting false doctrines out there that teaches that you automatically receive the Holy Spirit when you get saved. The disciples got saved, didn't have the Holy Spirit. There's nothing in the rest of the scriptures to say that either. And in some cases, they had repented and had been baptized, and disciples had been sent to tell them that they had to be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's in Acts chapter 8. Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? It says in Acts 19 and 2. That's what the apostles asked them. So we know that automatically receiving the Holy Spirit when you are saved is a false doctrine. Truth is, none of these gifts are available to those who accept this false doctrine. These spiritual gifts provide for the body of Christ that he gives to each and every member so that they can minister and they can give to the body of Christ. And the gifts are also used to bring in people from out of the world. You know, it's real important that we accept exactly what the scripture says. And he does say in Hebrews 13 and 8 that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today, yea and forever. He still sends us the way the Father sent him. And if you'll notice, the Father didn't send him until he was filled with the Holy Spirit. That's when his ministry started. And the only reason the disciples walked with Jesus and exercised the power of Jesus over demons, such as healings and his deliverances, because Jesus, was a paraclete. 1 John 2 and 1, my little children, these things write I unto you that you may not sin. And if any man sin, we have an advocate, that paracletos, with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. That word advocate is the same word as in John 14 and 16, when he says, he shall give you another comforter. So we got Jesus walking with them the first 3.5 years. Now, although they didn't have the Holy Spirit, they had a paraclete, and that was Jesus. He had given them authority to go forth and cast out demons, to heal the sick, and on and on and on. And as far as going out on their own without Jesus, who was the paraclete, he said that he would send them another paraclete who would be with them. And before they were able to go out to minister any of the gifts or any power of God, he told them to wait in Jerusalem, tarry in Jerusalem, what he said, until they had received the promise of the Father. And when that happened, the gifts and power over of the Holy Spirit work through them greatly or mightily. And so it is today. You still need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, folks. If you've got the Holy Spirit, if you have the Holy Spirit, then you are eligible to have these gifts and manifestations. 1 Corinthians 12 and 7 says, "But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit to profit withal." And if you haven't received any of these gifts to minister or to edify the body, to be your brother's keeper, and to serve the body, then you need to seek earnestly for them. And that ain't an option, because we are commanded by our Lord. 1 Corinthians 12 and 31. He says, "But desire earnestly the greater gifts, and moreover, a more excellent way show I unto you." And of course, that way is love. Those that have the love of the brethren want to help the brethren and desire to serve the brethren. And this is an excellent way to receive the gift, because God gives to those who want to be servants. 1 Corinthians 14 and 12. "So also ye, since ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that ye may abound unto the edifying," or building up, "of the church." 1 Corinthians 14 and 1. "Follow after love, yet desire earnestly spiritual gifts, but rather that ye may prophesy." These gifts are for edifying and building up the body, serving the body. 1 Corinthians 12 and 8. "For to one is given through the Spirit the word of wisdom, and to another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit." If you ask God to give you the gift that you need to serve his body, he's going to do it. He already said here in 1 Corinthians 12 and 7, "But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit to profit withal." That's according to the Spirit. Then verse 9, "To another faith in the same Spirit, and to another gifts of healing in the one Spirit." And if you'll notice, it's in the Spirit of God. So you must first have the Spirit of God. You desire earnestly to receive exactly what they received in the book of Acts. And the most common manifestation in the book of Acts, when someone received the Holy Spirit, was speaking in tongues. Now, it's not necessarily a gift of various tongues or differing tongues, along with the companion gift of interpretation. Those gifts are for the body. But the tongues that we receive when we first get baptized in the Holy Spirit is for the edification of our own life. Just like it says, "He that speaketh in a tongue edifieth himself, but he that prophesieth edifieth the church." And just like it was, I just mentioned, edify means to build up. The Bible says to build up yourself in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Jude 1 and 20. And then 1 Corinthians 14 and 14 says, "For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful." What is it then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. Folks, praying in the Spirit is praying in tongues. And it builds you up. It builds up your faith. It empowers you to be what you need to be. And folks, it is the most common gift, because it's the most necessary gift to be able to pray to God according to the will of God. And that's in a language that you don't know, so that you can't change it. Because if you know what you're saying, your theology could get in there and mess it up. But if you don't know what you're saying, you're not tempted to change it. So speaking in tongues is the most common proof that you have received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And if you have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, God can bring forth any of these gifts to you so that you can serve his body and be our brother's keeper. 1 Corinthians 12 and 10, "And to another, workings of miracles, and to another, prophecy, and to another, discerning of spirits, and to another, diverse kinds of tongues, and to another, interpretation of tongue." Now, the gift of healing and the gift of working miracles has worked in my life quite a number of times. I've seen that operation a lot. Now, diverse kinds of tongues is quite different from your prayer language, because it's actually many different languages. It can be brought forth with the interpretation of tongues, which is similarly with prophecy, as in 1 Corinthians 14:11. But all these work to one in the same spirit, dividing to each one severally, even as he will. God has chosen gifts for us to be ministered to the body. Obey God and desire earnestly these precious gifts so you can minister in the Spirit of God. These gifts are manifestation of who Jesus was and is. They are manifestations of his power and his gift, which he used to meet the needs of the people. And after God speaks about the gifting of Christ in his body, you have to know that if we're going to abide in Christ, it's to abide in these gifts as well. You can't reject the gifts and say that you're abiding in Christ in that particular point. That's just like you can't reject the fruit and say you're abiding in Christ. Abiding in Christ, folks, is to walk as he walked, to have that abide in you which was also in Christ. The Bible says that God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Ephesians 1:3. All the blessings are in the body of Christ. We need to abide in Christ. Believe in these blessings. Believe in these provisions made for the body. And do our part, our particular part, to minister to the needs of the body. Jesus said, he that believes on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And remember, Jesus is the one who is able to identify who a true believer really is. He said a true believer is going to do his works, right? What's his works? They are his gifts, his fruit, and his ministries. That's all a part of Christ. And you can't reject it. Any of those categories and say you're walking as he walked. Jesus left an individual body so he can come back into a corporate body. So he can continue doing with the gifts, with the fruit, and with the ministries what he did in his first body. That's the plan that he had all along. And think for one moment how wonderful things would be by now if the church hadn't fallen away into a great deception, having followed all those many wolves into a scattered flock. Thank God that in these days, the Lord said we would become one flock once again with one shepherd. He's going to restore his people into one body that's going to function perfectly. Folks, we got a tribulation coming, and we're going to need every bit of that. 1 Corinthians 12:12, for as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of the body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. Folks, we're not divided into sects or divisions and factions. That's a work of the flesh. That's denominationalism. We are one body, and we don't have to examine everybody's doctrine out there to see if they agree completely with us, because we all get to walk in Christ and grow at a different rate, right? Maybe we get different revelations at the beginning and different ones at the end, but we grow learning from one another. The body is knit together and builds up itself in love, for in one spirit were we all baptized. Now, that's water baptism. We're baptized into Christ, as the scripture tells us, into one body. Whether Jews or Greeks, whether bond or free, we're all made to drink of one spirit. And that's, of course, the power of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We're all made to partake of that one spirit. We partake of the Holy Spirit through the gifts that are given to us from other members of the body. And where we lack, Somebody else picks it up. They excel because they have a gift from God. And where we excel, somebody else lacks. We're put together in order to meet one another's needs. And the Lord's not going to let us be everything that we need. People who say that they have all the gifts and are everything the body needs, that's a lie. It's false and contrary to what the Lord said. He ordained us to need one another. And that tells us that each one of us has to do our part, or the body lacks, right? 1 Corinthians 12:14, for the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body. It is not, therefore, not of the body. There's people out there who look at themselves and think that everybody has to be just like them. The Nicolaitan doctrine says that anyone that wants to be a minister has to go to Bible school and come out being a pastor. Folks, that's crazy. Because where's the rest of the fivefold ministry? That has been usurped by the pastor. What would it do to perfect the rest of the body of Christ? Because that's what it's for, the perfecting of the saints. The Lord ain't going to share all of it with one man. We need the different ministries as well as the different gifts. And we're going to need all of it in the days to come, because we're going to have to walk in the Spirit and in the power of God to escape that judgment that's coming upon the world, all the world. 1 Corinthians 12:16, and if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, it is not, therefore, not of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelly? Folks, that's the cookie-cutter Christian scenario everybody wants to be like, believe like, have the same gift, just like a neighbor. It ain't going to work. You're not going to be prepared. You're going to lack in a lot of things in the days to come if it ends up that way. And if we obey this, it'll prepare us to go through the greatest tribulations to come. But now hath God set the numbers, each one of them, in the body, even as it pleased him. And if you'll notice, he said the gifts were even as it pleased him. You can't choose your gift, but God can put you in you a desire to have the gift he wants you to have. But the old man doesn't get to choose the gift. It's the Lord that chooses the gifts for you. And from experience, he'll give you several of these gifts in order for you to minister to the body. Verse 19 says, and if they were all one member, where were the body? So everybody can't be an arm. Everybody can't be a leg. Everybody can't be a mouth. There has to be a whole body, a meeting together. Now, obviously, there are a multitude of people that have not come into the gifts that God has called them to, and they ain't got no interest in it. I'm just asking to obey what the Scripture and the Word of God says. It commands us to desire earnestly these gifts, to seek after these gifts, to be prepared for the days to come. 1 Corinthians 12:20, but now they are many members, but one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of thee. Or again, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much rather, those members of the body, which seem to be more feeble, are necessary. Even those who people would consider to be feeble members of the body, they're necessary. Why? Because if they fulfill their part in the body, it's a need. It's a definite need in the body. A lot of people consider themselves unnecessary, and they're not accepting the Lord's gifts and taking their place as a minister of Jesus Christ. Folks, we're all called to be priesthood and ministers of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 12:23. And those parts of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. Whereas our comely parts have no need, but God tempered the body together, giving more abundant honor to that part which lacked. There are those in the world that the world calls foolish, ignorant, and weak. But you know what? God's power is made perfect in our weakness. It says that in 2 Corinthians 12:9. His gifts can flow through some of the most incapable worldly people in order to make them absolutely necessary to the body of Christ. And if you're weak in the world, that doesn't mean you're weak in Christ. In Christ, his gifts are powerful. Glory be to God. 1 Corinthians 12:25, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffereth, all the members suffer with it. Or one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. If one member suffers, everybody suffers. If there's a lack of one member, everybody suffers because that particular need hadn't been met. We need to pray that God will not only bring us, but all of the body into their gifts, their callings, and their ministries. Verse 27, now ye are the body of Christ and severally members thereof. And God has set some in the church, first apostles, second prophets, thirdly teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, and diverse kinds of tongues. Now, we talked about it before. Teachers also covers evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Now, he's gone now from ministries that are elders into other ministries, which are diakonos, or deacons, ministers. They minister in other areas besides those of the elders. Are all apostles, it says in 1 Corinthians 12:29, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles, have all gifts of healings, do all speak with tongues, do all interpret, but desire earnestly the greater gifts. And moreover, a most excellent way show I unto you. That's the fruit. If you have the gifts, you may be considering yourself important. But according to God in chapter 13, if you don't have the fruit, and it don't make any difference how many gifts you have, you're not important. 1 Corinthians 13:1. If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. So obviously God considers fruit more important than gifts, far more important than gifts. Gifts are God's way of enabling his body to meet each other's needs and to evangelize the world. Now, the world is not impressed with the words of wisdom like a lot of the church is. Why does God need power in the church? 1 Corinthians 2:4. And my speech and my preaching are not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. And today, the overwhelming majority of the church expects you to humble yourselves to their persuasive words of wisdom. It ain't based in their power. Verse 5, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And if you're going to a church that has a form of godliness but denies the power thereof, get out of it. Your faith needs to be based in the power of God. God demonstrates the true, full gospel to his people. And if it ain't the full gospel, then it's not the gospel, folks. That's just the way it is. Romans 15:18, for I will not dare to speak of anything save those which Christ wrought through me. In other words, it's not just a theological discussion when Paul spoke it. It's something that God manifested through him. And he ain't going to share something he hadn't experienced. There's a lot of teachers out there that share things they haven't experienced. When Jesus taught, the people were awed as one having authority. It was not as their scribes had taught, like a theological discussion, something that's knowledge for knowledge's sake. But Jesus taught as somebody who had authority, someone who knew what he was talking about because he'd been there and he'd done that. Paul's saying the same thing, and that he doesn't dare to speak of those things but what Christ has wrought through him. Romans 15 and 18. For the obedience of the Gentiles by word and deed, in the power of signs and wonders, in the power of the Holy Spirit, so that from Jerusalem and round about even unto Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. These gifts are for that purpose. They are for the purpose of manifesting signs and wonders, not only in evangelism to the world, but also to the supernatural needs of the body, in healing, in deliverances, and on and on and on. We get the term full gospel from this verse, meaning all of the good news. Not just a little part that gets you into heaven, okay? Obviously, the good news covers all of the needs that God has met. He's delivered us from all the power of the curse, all sicknesses, all demonic oppression and possession. He has delivered us from all of that at the cross. And the gifts are God's message for bringing all of that to pass for the cleansing and perfecting of the body. The fivefold ministry is called to perfect the saints unto the work of ministering. And they also pass along, impart, and pray for the gifts of the Spirit to be manifested through people. Be filled with God's Spirit so that you may be filled with His gifts, so you might minister to His body, because the body needs you. And we need you desperately. Now, we know that there are some things that are common to the body. Mark 16 and 17, and these signs shall accompany them that believe. In my name shall they cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. Any believer can do these things that he's speaking about here. You are entitled to do these. And any believer won't have all the gifts that we saw in 1 Corinthians 12. But these are things that are common to believers. These you have authority from God to do them. Even the youngest among us can cast out demons. It comes with the authority of faith, not with any kind of a gift. Now, there are things that help, such as discerning of spirits. And you can also have a word of knowledge, which might work like discerning of spirits, since it can tell you what you're dealing with, okay? And once again, you can be a baby Christian and speak in tongues. Not all have the gifts of tongues and the companion gift of interpretation, but all can speak with tongues. As it says in 1 Corinthians 14 and 23, if therefore the whole church be assembled together and all speak with tongues, there's come in men unlearned or unbelieving. Will they not say that you are mad? In other words, be careful of the unbelieving that come in. Even if it's the unbelieving Christian who doesn't believe in speaking in tongues. There's a lot of Christians who are unbelievers. And he's telling us the signs that accompany them that believe. And it don't make any difference whether you believe your religion. We're talking about scriptural belief here. John 7, 38 and 39. He that believeth on me, as scripture hath said, from within him shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believed on him were to receive. Then Mark 16 and 18. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall in no wise hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. And of course, you know, serpents represent demon spirits. And then over in Luke 10 and 19, he refers to serpent and scorpion spirits. Apostle Paul physically took up a serpent from the fire, cast it off, and didn't hurt him. And those signs are common giftings to the whole body of Christ. And anybody who is a believer can do these things, as it has well been proven by people who have been filled with the Holy Spirit and are obedient to God. We're commanded to be filled with God's Spirit and God's gifts. These are parts of the ministry of Jesus Christ. And when we abide in Christ, we're not only abiding in His fruit, we're abiding in His gifts. And if you want the ministry of Jesus Christ in your life, you need to find out what gifts He's called you for. You've got a part in the body. The body needs you, and they need your gifts. They're given to you. And they ain't given to your neighbors out there who are in need of these gifts, because He's given them to you to minister to the body. Amen. Well, folks, I'm out of time. God bless you. We'll see you next week, God willing.